takes us from verse 22 to verse 33 in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. It is Jesus as he walks on water and as he calms a storm. It is my intention and it is my hope and it is my prayer that we would be encouraged in the scriptures tonight, for tonight I have entitled my sermon, Worshipping the Son of God. It sounds very different to maybe what you are acquainted with, Jesus walking on water, calming the storm in your life. Well, actually, the whole import of this is that the disciples would worship the Son of God. And so let me begin with a word of prayer as we take ourselves into the scriptures by God's grace. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this evening, so thankful for the opportunity to once again gather, as Hermann said, in this place that you've provided for us, that we might come without fear of persecution, and that we might come now ready with hearts that are open and wills that are yielded in order that you would accomplish all that you've intended for us in our lives, that we would be conformed into the image of your Son, that we would be a people who truly show forth a sanctified walk with you and who testify of your goodness and kindness. You are deserved of our worship, and I thank you for this particular passage tonight, that we might truly understand and grasp what it is that you desired your disciples to learn some 2,000 years ago and that which you desire for us to learn even in this day. Thank you for your timeless truths, and thank you for the impact that they have on our lives, not just in this day, but throughout eternity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read for us, I want us to bear in mind, in whatever circumstance, in whatever state, in whatever place, it is fitting that we remember, whatever you do in word, whatever you do in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see, our attitude in every circumstance, in every state, in every place ought to be that we would worship God, that we would love him and adore him, no less, even if we're in the midst of a fiery trial, than when we are in the midst of great blessing. You see, the pinnacle of our text tonight is that the disciples worshipped Jesus as they concluded as he stepped onto that boat and calmed the storm. They testified, "You are certainly God's Son." And the verse before that says, it was true of the disciples some 2,000 years ago, and it is true of us tonight. We need to worship the Son of God because of his divine authority. I want us to see that we ought to worship the Son of God because of his divine knowledge. And I want to see that we ought to worship the Son of God because of his divine protection. And I want to see us that we would be worshiping the Son of God because of his divine love toward us. And I want to conclude with us understanding that we ought to worship the Son of God because of his divine power. This will take us through the text for this evening. Now, let me remind us. Though God the Father had declared on the occasion of Jesus' baptism that he is his Son and in him he is well pleased, and even though the demons declared at Gadara that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this was the first time, mark it well, this was the first time the 12 disciples confessed Jesus Christ together as Lord and Son of God. In our text tonight, we're going to see those five reasons that I've already outlined for us. And these are five reasons that the disciples ought to have understood and ought to have realized as they had opportunity to walk side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ And for us in this day, these are five identical reasons as to why we ought to worship the Son of God, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I, awaiting that moment when God the Father sends him to call home his church, and that we might evermore be with the Lord and the dead in Christ, who will be raised in the twinkling of an eye along with ourselves. So let me take us to the first point. We ought to worship the Son of God because of his divine authority. Look at verses 22 and 23 with me of Matthew chapter 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So let me help us understand something, because I've made the statement, he ought to be worshipped because of his divine authority. You say, where do you get that from? How do you actually make that fit with the text that we've just read? Well, look at the phrase. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. The phrase that's in the Greek is that it was almost as if they were arguing with him. No, we don't want to leave you. We want to stay with you. Now, you have to understand, if you look at the other gospel accounts, you get given a little bit more information. So in the Gospel of Mark, we understand that the crowd, after they'd been fed by Jesus from a little boy's lunch of five loaves and two fish, after that event, they wanted to take Jesus and to make him their king. It was not his appointed time. It was not the purpose that God the Father had ordained for God the Son to take up his kingship. His kingship would be governed on the fact that he would willingly go to the cross and that he would perish and die the death that you and I ought to die in our stead, that we might have life. It was God the Father's will that God the Son would pay the sacrifice to wipe away every trespass raised up against Jesus is actually encouraging Peter. Why? He says to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Well, what is it that Peter doubted? Way back up in verse 27. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. I know you're in a storm. I can come to you. I am coming to you. I know that you are my child and my treasure. I will protect you. Why did you doubt that I could protect you, Peter? But you know what? Peter's weak faith was better than no faith. He was at least prepared to start out toward Jesus. And when he faltered, Jesus took him all the way. My friends, that's true of you and I. There have been times when I have been determined in my heart, I'm going to walk ever closer with the Lord. And then along comes a distraction. And along comes a calamity. And I take my eyes off the Lord. And for a day or so, or perhaps in my case, a couple of weeks, or maybe even a year, I've not walked as I ought to with the Lord, and yet he has never once abandoned me. And when I finally called out to him and said, Lord, help me, he's taken me all the way. Lastly, the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be worshipped because of his divine power. We have seen that he ought to be worshipped because of his divine authority, because of his divine knowledge, because of his divine protection, because of his divine love. But now we see in verses 32 and 33, he ought to be worshipped because of his divine power. Verse 32, and when they, that's Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you certainly are God's Son. You see, the most spectacular miracle was accomplished without Jesus saying a word or raising a hand. In God's divine power, he steps into the boat and he doesn't even speak. The wind and everything is calmed. His immediate presence brings to bear upon their calamity. And without saying a word or raising a hand, the most spectacular miracle is accomplished. God's divine power brought to bear upon those hardened hearts of the disciples. They were so softened and their eyes were so opened as they had never seen before. They had been taken past amazement now into worship. Why? Because they had seen in their own calamity his divine authority, his divine knowledge, his divine protection, his divine love, his divine power, and they had seen him attend to his own. But notice something. How is it that they worshipped him? They declared him to be the Son of God. And in so doing, we will see in the weeks and months ahead as we continue through the Gospel of Matthew, they declared him not only in word, but they declared him by surrendering themselves to him, by enjoining themselves to him, by serving alongside him. There were times they failed him. We will see that too. But never once did they lose their affection for the Lord Jesus Christ, save the son of perdition who chose to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friends, I ask this of yourself and I ask it of myself. The Lord Jesus Christ, do you see him as deserved of your worship? Do you see it because of his divine power in your life, of his divine authority, of his divine protection, and above all, of his divine love? You see, is Jesus declared to be the Son of God in your life by your word, by your action, and I pray, by your thought, which only he and he alone can see? May it be that you would surrender to him and worship him as he has deserved, for he truly has a task for you to fulfill, to love him and adore him with all of your soul, body, heart, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder that you who have saved us have set us toward a task. And you who have saved us has given us the opportunity to witness and testify of you through kindness, but also through conduct. And I pray that as we go forth from this place, if it be in your will to use us in that way, and we know it to be so, may it be that you would find us vessels fit for the Master's use. So we implore you, bring about a cleansing in our lives. Bring about a dedication that we might serve you with gladness and with singleness of purpose of heart and mind. And may it be that as you work this in our lives, that you would now, for your glory and for your kingdom, not only enjoin us to those who are in need of encouragement within the body of Christ, but help us to be those heralds and those witnesses to the lost, that we might testify of salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they, like us, would surrender to your lordship, and that we would truly know that we have been bought with a price and we are not our own. And so as the hours begin to unfold, with a newfound love for you because of your divine authority and of your divine love and of your divine knowledge and of your divine protection in each one of our lives, may it be, Lord, that you would use us as you so choose. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.